I wanted to share a promise with you this morning, just for a few minutes before we shift to a baptism. In Matthew chapter 5, one of the Beatitudes, I'm going to start there, and then I do have a few verses I'll share with you, but just something that's been really on my mind lately. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, if you want to turn there. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." And the thought of hungering and thirsting for righteousness is what, in a lot of ways, has been on my mind. It's really been kind of two things: a desire, a longing to be sanctified, to be changed, and then secondly, thinking about, I want to share a few verses that talk about, a few passages that talk about that, but there's some longing there, and it's a great reminder. And interestingly, even just while we were singing, I searched in my little Bible app there the word satisfied, and it was fascinating. It took me to a psalm, Psalm 107, and it was amazing. As I read the psalm, I was like, wow, this is like a foreshadowing of the new covenant, and it specifically talks about satisfying those who hunger and thirst. And it says in Psalm 107, talks about the, obviously it's looking backwards, but there's clearly a foreshadowing of what is to come. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distress. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city or a city of habitation. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul. He has filled with what is good." I read that, and I'm sure many of you read that, you can think that is my testimony right there. Crying out, coming, just how many people, you know, before coming to the Lord, you are hungering and thirsting. Every person hungers and thirsts, full stop. Every person does. And every person seeks to satisfy that hunger and that thirst. And you can do it in many, many different ways. But until we come to realize that it is found in Jesus Christ and in him alone, and we cry out to him, it's in that place that we find that it says, it's why I was looking this morning at the places where he would cry out, and he would stand up and cry out, and just see this longing for people to come to him. And it says that whoever would come to him would never hunger, and whoever believes in him would never thirst. But there is, when we come to Jesus Christ, and even we have a testimony this morning of Daniel desiring to follow the Lord and desire to be baptized, which is tremendous. And that begins this journey of walking with the Lord. But praise God that our journey isn't just stop there with baptism. But as we go through life, we have this hope of being sanctified, this hope of change. And the passage that is so familiar that comes to my mind with this morning is Romans chapter 12. And really, I would say, so the theme is, one is that we would be a body, we would be brothers and sisters that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And if you're not, and I would just challenge you this morning, every one of us is hungering and thirsting. That is the way, God, I believe, made us that way, that there is a longing in every one of us to be satisfied. And with the fall of man, when Adam and Eve partake of the fruit and were separated from God, there the journey began of frankly, that we were hungering and thirsting for other things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. But he made a way through Jesus Christ that we could be restored to the Father and that we could truly be satisfied in him. And that is the only place that we can be satisfied. And so it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We have a high calling. We have a command, really. Let's turn it around. We have a promise. We have a promise that we don't have to be conformed to the pattern of this world. And if you think of being conformed to the pattern of this world, just, you know, I don't want anybody to say anything, but what comes to your mind when you think of this? Probably the first thing that comes to my mind is sin, and all things there probably fall into this bucket of sin, but it's more of things that lean to immorality, lust, greed, that, I'll say that side. And I was just thinking as I was sitting here, what are other things, though, that the world, the image of this world, especially in these times, what about fear? Being conformed to this pattern of fear. How many people do we speak with live in fear or anxiety? This is anxiety. This is something that I've been battling. And I shared a little bit about that on Friday, just a short testimony of how that, this is, I just, it was in my mind. I says, this is also the pattern of this world. I speak with many people through work or different circumstances, and they talk about all their fears and their worries. And what goes through my mind when I hear this is, man, it's so different when you have those fears and worries and you don't serve a living God that you can bring all of those cares and all of those concerns to, and have someone that is there to daily bear every burden that we have. I love this. I've shared it many times. The New Living Translation of Philippians chapter 4, where it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. It's a wonderful translation. It's so simple. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And we have that in Jesus Christ. But that's just another way that we can be conformed to the pattern of this world, especially in these times when there's so many things, whether it's, there's just so many things that we could be worried about. There's natural disasters, there's sickness, there's pandemics, there's this, there's that, the list goes on and on. Let's not be conformed to this pattern of anxiety and fear. And this is a real battle. I have been in this battle, as I shared Friday night, with challenges in our home, physically and naturally in our home, of what do I do with these different things and so many other things that can make me anxious. And I just feel like God has been speaking to my heart around not being conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In Colossians chapter 3, very similarly, Paul again is saying to the Colossians, so he was saying that to the Romans. Here's what he's saying to the Colossians. It's such a familiar passage. Colossians 3, verse 1, we've looked at this probably hundreds of times. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So there is the first part, but he just gives us an exhortation. Are we setting our mind on things above? Or are we, like Paul said to the Philippians, he says, he was warning them about those who set their mind on earthly things. But we are called to set our mind on things above. And I am challenged by that. I have been challenged by that very much. And again, this can be things that in our own minds we think maybe it's finances, maybe it's this, health matters, this or that, whatever it is. And they can the enemy can be crafty to make us think, well, I need to figure that out. And there may be times, obviously, where we have to think about those things and that. But how much am I praying about those things and bringing those cares or those concerns to Jesus and just laying them at his feet and finding that peace that passes all understanding when I brought all of my fears or anxieties or worries to him and leaving them with him? And I've been challenged by that. So if we go down then in this passage, it's so similar. But he goes on, he says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body. And he lists off ways that we can be conformed to the pattern of this world: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. So there are things, and if these things are in our life, obviously we need to lay those things aside, just like we need to consider ourselves dead to them. We need to repent of them and turn from them, because it's those things where the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. But we walked in those. I'm going to go down, though, and it says here where it says in verse 10, and having put on, end of verse 9, or 9, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed, or I like the word, it's literally, who is being renovated to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. This is God's desire. When we come to him and we begin to just set our mind on things above, if we come to Christ, perhaps even we're baptized, we make a decision to follow him, but we're not diligent, disciplined to set our minds on things above, and we find our minds set on earthly things, this renovation, I do not believe this renovation is going to happen the way the Lord desires for it to happen in our life. We will go back to being conformed to the pattern of this world. And this is the challenge. This is the conviction that I feel like the Lord has been dealing with me on. How much time, Tim, do you spend worrying about this or that, or thinking about this or that, or trying to solve all your own problems? Set your mind on things above. Bring your worries and your cares to me, and let me change you, sanctify you. And by the way, I'll bear your burdens. I'll take care of those things, as I shared Friday night, just a concern that I had. I shared with Whitney Friday, and I was crying out for those that were, I was crying out, Lord, I need your help. And by the end of that day, God resolved that concern in a way that far beyond what I could ask, think, or imagine. And that verse was in my mind, even. That verse was coming to my mind, but I was lacking the faith to see God work it out. And then to see him really work in that way, I was just so challenged and blown away. Just, it brought me to tears. I was just like, Lord, you are so good. You are so good, and I need to trust you more, and I need to spend less time worrying and more time resting in you and just trusting you that you are capable and able to do far more than I could ask, think, or imagine. So that is a way that we can be conformed to this world of just anxiety. Perhaps it's other things, but I just share that with you. I already talked about Philippians 3, where Paul again says there, for I have often told you and now say again with tears that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their appetite. Their glory is in their shame. And they're focused on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will, here it is again, there is, if you don't see the connect, like to me, I was just like, man, every passage that talks about, not every passage, but so many of the passages that talk about being sanctified and being changed into him is his image, talk about setting our mind on things above, or alternately setting our mind on earthly things. So here he's warned them against those who set their mind on earthly things. And then he says, but if our citizenship is in heaven, and there, he doesn't specifically say it, but you get this image of, we're waiting. I've got my mind set on things above. I'm waiting for my Savior to come. And it says, he will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself. And I believe that that is twofold. I believe that there is a real change that will happen when we meet Jesus Christ. Whether we pass away and we go to be with him, or whether he comes, I believe there'll be a change that he brings. But I believe now that there is a power in Jesus Christ and in his Holy Spirit to change our lives and to bring life in us and to bring victory in areas where we may not on our own, we cannot on our own, I should say, have victory. But his power is there to sanctify, to change us, to make us more like him, to make us holy. Because Peter says the same thing. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he gives the same exhortation. The Spirit speaks through many brothers in the word. But here he says, therefore, with your minds ready for action, or prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When I think of the grace to be brought to me at the revelation of Jesus Christ, there's many sides to grace, but in Titus, I believe it is, Titus chapter 1, it says that the grace of God, I'm going to quickly read that because I'm going to forget exactly what it says there. Titus 1, I believe it's verse 16. Titus 2:16? 2:11. Yeah, we were close. I had the right book. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So as we fix our hope on this grace, or coming boldly to the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and grace to help in our time of need. So I'm going to wrap up there because we are going to shift to a baptism. But I just wanted to encourage you this morning, a few very simple things. Let's be those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because in our hungering and thirsting for righteousness, we will be satisfied. And let's be those that are diligent to set our mind on things above. And in doing so, we can have this hope that Christ will sanctify us, His Spirit will sanctify us and change us. And we don't have to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but we can be transformed. We can be changed into His image. And in being changed, that can be the simplest things. The enemy will come and say, yeah, but you need to, if it's, like I say, anxiety and worry just came to my mind today, but if that's something you're battling with, as I have battled with, these are things that, this is a pattern of the world, and it's not something that God desires for us. He desires for us to be free from sin, whether if that's lust or greed or anger, outbursts of anger, all so many things. He desires for us to be free, and as we set our mind on things above, He will bring that change, and that we have that hope. I'll close with this analogy. Many of you have heard it, but if you haven't, I'm going to share it because it's great. When I think of that, I heard a brother say, setting our mind on things above or setting our mind on earthly things. It's like our minds are attached to an elastic. And if our minds are set in heavenly places, that's where our mind is. And then when we have to deal with an earthly thing, you know, we come down, but we're attached to an elastic. And as soon as we are done dealing with that earthly thing, boop, we're sucked back up by the elastic. Then our minds are back set on heavenly things. Alternatively, we can have our minds set on earthly things where once in a while we pop up to think about something heavenly, like maybe on a Friday night or a Sunday morning, and then as soon as we're done, maybe even having our quiet time, boom, we're just sucked back down to thinking about earthly things. And so let's be those, and this is so much for me. Lord, I want to have my mind set on heavenly things, and I only deal with the earthly things when I absolutely have to, and when I'm done, I can just be back to renewing my mind and having them set on things above. So let me encourage you with that this morning.